Hello and welcome to our podcast. Thank you for tuning in today as we go live to Hope City, Sheffield. We pray that this message inspires, encourages, and builds your faith as you listen. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Take your seats. Hello, for those of you that don't know me, I'm Jenny. I haven't been on the platform since November. I'm back. Had a little bit of a resty rest on a sunbed in Egypt, which was nice as Dave went on a quad bike. I chose not to go. Right. Okay. So I was asked to preach today. I preached in Hope City, Birmingham this morning, which I must say was just incredible. Like just the most amazing atmosphere. And Becky and Tebow are doing an amazing job there. But Tebow said to me, he said, Jen, would you preach on No More Drama Part 2? And I thought, are you living in fairyland, Tebow? Like, no more drama? I mean, let's just visit my life for a second. I don't think there's been a day in the last 28 years that there's not, I don't wake up in the morning thinking, will there be drama today? I really think, what drama will happen today? And so when Tebow said to me, will you preach on no more drama? I thought, I don't think I live in your universe, Tebow. Or either I'm really old, I'm not really sure, because there's always a drama every single day of my life. And I understand this is controversial, because we want to live a lovely, peaceful, dramatic, free life. But drama comes with the territory of an effective life. And if you do nothing, you attract little. But if you do something, you attract drama. So I thought, how do I write a message about no more drama? And I thought, well, perhaps what I need to do is define drama and define melodrama. Because what we tend to do is we tend to turn our drama into melodrama very effectively and very quickly, don't we? So I went to the dictionary and I read about what drama is. Drama is an emotional, unexpected event or circumstance. Melodrama is a dramatic piece with exaggerated characters where the characters show stronger emotions than real people usually do. And this is what we do with our drama. We turn it into melodramas, and it says where characters behave and show emotion in a more noticeable way than real people usually do. And this is the difference between drama and melodrama. And I would suggest that the difference between drama and melodrama is stopping our spirit before it tips from drama into melodrama to, in 2019, going, there will be drama. There will be stuff that comes our way because that is the hallmark of an effective life. But what we won't do is we won't allow our drama to tip into melodrama, not stopping it in the middle and understanding that God reigns. Come on, is anybody with me tonight? I'm reminded of a very famous chap called Shakespeare who wrote in a play, As You Like It, all the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts, his acts being seven ages. Life's like that. But we need to say no to melodrama in 2019 and learn how to deal with drama. It's our standpoint. What is our standpoint going to be in 2019 that's different to our standpoint that we had in 2018? The new standpoint that is our PowerPoint, how is that going to differ? I need to slow myself down for a second, because what happens when you haven't preached for a couple of months? You get a bit rusty. It's like winding an old gramophone up or bringing Granny out and putting her teeth back in and shoving it back on the platform. That's what's currently happening. So just relax me. Thank you. Okay. That's why we like Bridey Lighty. So, I went to read Matthew again about the story when Jesus was in the wilderness. And before I read this passage to you, I've fallen in love with a new version of the Bible, and it's the Passion Version. And sometimes it's good, isn't it, just to go and buy a new version, and it's almost like the scripture lights up to you again. So I'm going to read to you about when Jesus came out of the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. It says, afterward, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the lonely wilderness in order to reveal his strength against the accuser by going through the ordeal of testing. And after fasting for 40 days, I was going to say 3 days because that will feel like 40, Jesus was extremely weak and famished. Isn't it amazing that the Bible says that even Jesus was extremely weak and famished after he went through the wilderness experience? But it also says here in this passage, it says Jesus was led into the lonely wilderness in order to reveal his strength against the accuser. God didn't need to know, Jesus did. And I would suggest that some of the trials and dramas that you have been through of late and in 2018 have actually revealed to you that you are stronger than you think. Because you don't know why? You're still here. Your strength, your inner strength has been revealed to you through your wilderness. Your defense mechanism worked. You're still here. It revealed that you are stronger than you thought you were. And in the moments when you thought you wouldn't make it, you're still here. Jesus knew you were stronger than you thought. The testing was to reveal it to you. You stood. Your strength was revealed against your accuser. I can genuinely say that in 2018, Dave and my strength was revealed against the accuser. In Matthew 4, verse 10, it says, but Jesus said, go away, enemy. He went through the wilderness. His strength was revealed to him. And then Jesus said, go away, enemy. He began to understand who he was. Even Jesus was extremely weak and very famished after the endurance test. You think that you have to come out of your wilderness experience looking strong and shiny, with all 9 spiritual gifts wrapped up in one exciting package, ready to present yourself to the world. But my Bible says that Jesus came out of the wilderness weak and famished. But at the same time as saying that he was weak and famished, it said that he understood his strength. How does that work? Because it's different to what we thought it was. In 2018, your sense of personal weakness you understood was true, but you learnt what is admirable and it has set you up for the next. You said, go away, enemy, and guess what he did? You were offered everything just as Jesus was offered, bread, money, influence and power. And you realized that this was not really what made you tick. In it you discovered what you really wanted was him. God has given you through your test X-ray vision through falsity. Your character and your identity were persecuted and your nature challenged, but you have seen your revealed strength and found your true north. That is what testing does for you. And here we are at the beginning of another year. When Jesus came out of the wilderness, he lived before he went into the wilderness in a place called Nazareth. And there's an amazing passage of scripture that says what happened after he went through the wilderness. And the Bible says in Matthew 4:13, Jesus moved from Nazareth to make his home, his new home, in Capernaum, which is by the Lake Galilee in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. And it says in verse 17, he did this to make the prophecy of Isaiah come true. You're thinking, Jen, what on earth are you talking about? Jesus moved house. He moved his ministry base from a place called Nazareth and moved to Capernaum, which is by the sea, which in my heart, as an Australian that was brought up on a lovely beach, makes me feel very relaxed. But Nazareth means crowned and separated, and Capernaum means comforted. Why did God take Jesus from a place of seemingly it and a little bit more? Crowned, separated, celebrated. And God took Jesus through the wilderness and instead brought him to a place it was not crowned and celebrated. He wasn't it and a little bit more, but he was comforted and solaced by the Holy Spirit. He moved in that moment the ministry base of Jesus' life from it and a little bit more to a place of comfort. And I would suggest in 2019 that God is moving us and our place and our source of solace from being it and a little bit more. We thought that when we were crowned and when we were separated and when we were celebrated, that that was where our anointing would come from. But it wasn't. We thought we'd had it, and then suddenly God took us through the wilderness and took us through a test, because he wanted you to realize that real anointing comes out of an intimate relationship of comfort with the Holy Spirit. It does not come from you being crowned and celebrated and lifted and being it and a little bit more. Your anointing comes from a place of solace and comfort. Your new standpoint in 2019 is a place of solace, where you realize that you can make nothing happen because you are not the God of the impossible. He is the God of the impossible. As we come out of the wilderness weak and famished, and we come at the beginning of a year and we say, God, I have nothing to give. And he says, good. Finally, I can anoint you, because you still stand after the wilderness and you come with a humble and quiet spirit that finds its solace in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And that's where your anointing comes from. It says further on in Matthew 4, for heaven's kingdom is now accessible. In 2019, heaven's kingdom is now accessible. Prior to the drama, Jesus had lived in Nazareth. He was a somebody. And all of a sudden, the hits the fan. And after the drama comes, and it seems you've lost your crowning luster, you are moved to a whole new place of residence. A residence by the sea. A base of breath for your heart. A place where you live and minister out of solace and nourishment, not of striving. This year, the connection is changing. There will be a plugging into the actual mains and not a generator that often fails and is unreliable. The generator of your own reputation has run out of fuel. And a heart of solace breathes true anointing from heaven. What happened after Capernaum? What happened when Jesus moved through the wilderness to Capernaum? This is when the whole miraculous and multiplying nature of Jesus' ministry began. Heaven's kingdom is now accessible. What happened after Jesus moved his standpoint from Nazareth to Capernaum? The next thing we read is that Jesus seemed to call people with incredible ease. The very next thing that happened, it says in Matthew 4, verse 19. Jesus called to them and said, come and follow me, and I will make you in a men who catch people for God. Immediately they dropped their nets and left everything behind to follow Jesus. My prophetic word would be tonight that from this new standpoint, the miracle of salvation will just flow into this house. The miracle of God giving you people around your life that think the same and pay the same price and want to do what you want to do and touch people's lives will just flow into your world, because that's what happened with Jesus. What day of the week does anyone come up, says, I'm leaving my job right now and I'm following Jesus? It was a miracle that happened because Jesus was in a new standpoint. He called his disciples. He was suddenly surrounded by people who helped and who believed and who stood alongside. He was surrounded all of a sudden by people whose hearts were stirred by the same theme and the same sense of sacrifice. Do you know the oddest thing happened? I'm going to expose something Dave just did, but I do that every time I preach. That's what you enjoy about it when I preach. So I got home from Birmingham. We had half an hour with Hayley, and I went upstairs to get changed, and Dave and Hayley were watching YouTube videos in the lounge while I was getting changed. And I cannot believe what they were watching. Now, it's all okay. Don't worry, there wasn't anything dodgy, except they were watching Akadaka, AC/DC, right? Right, and I'm like, what are they watching? And they had it ramped up so loud. It was like a childhood in Australia with heavy metal Aussie rock. And I think the song came on Highway to Hell. I'm thinking, why are they listening to Highway to Hell when I'm just about to go and preach? But I had a moment, and it took me back 30 years when the reason I was in ministry was because I realized there was a lost generation of young Australians who were listening to Akadaka and were really devilish stuff that was leading them the wrong way. And I had a moment upstairs and I thought, this is why we do what we do. My husband is listening to Highway to Hell downstairs. But you know, I believe in 2019, as we brought our lives back, I believe in 2019, Stu, I was watching you pray the other morning in staff meeting, and there was something, oh my goodness, it was incredible how you were praying. And I just believe in 2019, this is the word of the Lord for you, church, watch your handbags. Because in 2019, ex-offenders are going to be in this place, door to door, come on, door to door. And I'm not saying they want to steal your stuff, I'm just saying don't put the temptation in front of somebody that's been their previous journey, amen? I believe in 2019 this place is going to be full of people that want God, the desperate, the unloved. Come on. And that's what happens when you go through a wilderness and you come out the other side. God gives you the stuff you really want, not the stuff you think you want. And what I really want is souls. What I really want is people touched by the power of God. What I really want is these prisoners, these young men and young women to come out of prison and find Jesus and find the thing that keeps them out of there. Anyway. This year you will be surrounded by people who add drama to your life. But instead of the melodrama of your wilderness experience, there'll be such a foundation of anointing that the people and the finances and the resources you need will be attracted to your life like a moth to a flame. Your new standpoint will attract influence. Your Capernaum is glued to the miraculous. The whole world tells us that the standpoint of crowning is the glue, but instead the quiet heart of solace is the glue that attracts abundance. If there's one thing I've learned over the years, the quieter I become, the more anointed I become. Whenever I try to be charismatic and the life of the party, which I'm not. No, it's true, lady. You might be, I'm not. I like to watch you burn. I like to just sit there and watch. As soon as I try to become somebody I'm not, I lose the glue. In 2019, the glue that attracts the presence of God is the solace of Capernaum in your spirit. The next thing that happened was miracles began to flow. When Jesus came to Capernaum, he changed his whole ministry base. And it says in Matthew 4:24, his fame spread everywhere. Many people who were in pain and suffering with every kind of illness were brought to Jesus for their healing. Epileptics, paralytics, and those tormented by demonic powers were all set free. Everyone who was brought to Jesus was healed. I'll never forget a moment in church. I was about 19, and Dave and I were fresh in the ministry. And, you know, back in the day, I'm telling you, everybody thinks I'm some sort of diva. Listen, I've been chased around with people with knives, all sorts, when we were in youth ministry. I remember sitting in the middle of the row in church beside a girl stoned out of her brain on something, and she decided the best way out of church was just to walk over the top of everybody on the way out. And all the old, beautiful old ladies were huffing and puffing, and I thought, this is living. This is living. You know, back in my young adult days and before I even met Dave, and we had moments in the presence of God where people were released from demons, where bodies were healed, where lives were changed. This is our 2019. This is our 2019. I'm not going to apologize for the power of God and soften it and cover it with a 21st century cocoon that denies the power of God. We need the power of God to come and visit us in our meetings. And because as a church, and Dave and I have leaders, and many of our leaders have gone through an incredible wilderness in 2019, you watch God come, because after Capernaum came the miracles in Jesus' name. The whole new phase of the miraculous flowed out of Jesus from this new standpoint. Not drama or fighting belligerently for power or prestige, but rather from a place of comfort and solace. Do you know there's something about this generation? Listen to me as a mama. And Tebow told me something really good in the pastor's meeting this week. I said, I'm not very motherly. He said, Jenny, you can be motherly if you apply yourself. I thought, okay, I'll apply myself. Apply myself to motherliness. I've effectively pushed one out of the nest to Sydney, so now I shall be motherly here. Younger generation. This generation is so entitled and so looks to what is on social media, and you got to be a somebody and you got to look a certain way. What's happened to the world where we're buying followers on Instagram? Lordy Lou, what has the world come to? Anointing does not come out of climbing the Christian ladder. Anointing does not come out of power or prestige or charisma. Anointing comes out of you standing through the wilderness and coming to a place of solace from Capernaum. That's where anointing comes from. Where your heart is softened and comforted and your future unfolds with ease, not striving. This is what this is all about. To bring this church to a point of easy fruitfulness. I wonder if I could have the musicians up. So we thank God for the drama and the testing and the wilderness. And we move to our new standpoint. We move our hearts to Capernaum, the real place of fruit, a place where miracles and abundance and life flows. A place where men and women's hearts align and where our hearts fall again for the one who loves us. And we fall for him, for Capernaum in our hearts. I've been reading Song of Songs in the Passion Version, Song of Solomon. It's the most stunning. I've read it over and over. And it says in chapter 4, verse 13, may your inner life is now sprouting, bringing forth fruit. Up to this point, we have many of us relied upon our outer life sprouting. But it's our inner life sprouting that attracts anointing. Amen. I believe God's going to move tonight. You know, sometimes as a preacher, you do gymnastics to make altar calls happen. I don't have the energy for that anymore. I believe God wants to touch us tonight. I'm believing that you're 2019. Is full of fruit and abundance and solace and comfort, the miraculous power of God, like you've never known before. Would you stand with me?
We hope you've enjoyed our podcast today. If you have, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast right on our homepage so you can hear all the latest streams from Hope City Church. Why not head to our website at hopecity.church to keep up to date with all that's happening across Hope City.